My job is to chat you up on a Wednesday, and I will do so, because there's lots of stuff in the news we want to talk about and try to finger out.
And now, here's Bill Bitica.
You betcha. I don't make a big deal. Hi, hope your Wednesday's going all right so far. The weather's going to be a little bit milder today, not necessarily in North Carolina, but other places it's going to be pretty good, and even San Luis Obispo is supposed to be about 78, so nah, that's the weather wizard's guess for today, and we'll go with it. I got a kick out of something. Can I tell you the truth? It's out of an advertisement in the paper, I have to tell you the truth. I saw an advertisement that made me laugh, and here's what it was. Let me find out where I saw it. Right here. Memory pill does the brain does for the brain what prescription glasses do for the eyes, claims U.S. Surgeon General candidate, which I don't know if he was a Surgeon General candidate or not. But that's not the point. Remarkable change observed helps restore up to 15 years of lost memory power in as little as 30 days. All right, here's a lady standing days before seeing a neurologist for alarming rate of memory loss. 54-year-old Elizabeth Kay of Rochester, New York, discovered a natural memory pill that changed her life. So here's one of these. You know, this is a fish oil thing. Anyway, but here's the thing. Snake oil. That's what not fish oil. Snake oil. So, but here's the thing. I think I'm right if I say this. If your memory gets bad enough, you don't remember that you don't remember.
This is Talk is Cheap. With Bill Bitica. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Go, Mo. Mo barbecue, please.
Mo ribs, Mo chicken, Mo pork, Mo beef, Mo burgers, Mo onion rings, Mo potato chips, Mo beans, Mo fried green tomatoes.
Mo barbecue, please.
Mo slaw, Mo tater salad, Mo house salad, Mo Cobb salad, Mo Caesar salad, and Mo's Calypso salad. Mo sodas, Mo brewskis, Mo lemonade, Mo iced tea.
Mo barbecue, please.
At Osus in Monterey and San Luis Obispo and at Pismo, it's the bomb. Pomeroy's most bodacious beach barbecue, babies.
Mo barbecue, please.
Have you ever worked with Coastal Computers? Coastal Computers is here for the small business that needs computers, technology, and networking to stay even and be competitive. They're here for the small business that can't afford to hire a computer staff. They're here for the small business that needs to get it right the first time, who can't afford the pain and the horror stories that we've all heard about. Coastal Computers has been making the tough stuff easy for over 25 years with lots of happy clients. They're worth a call at 543-9047. Call 543-9047. Coastal Computers, Microsoft, Intel, and networking specialists. 543-9047. Or visit ccslo.com. ccslo.com right now. The small business favorite's favorite. ccslo.com. Coastal Computers.
Bang. Let's talk about what's going on in our flashback today, our highlights, our history, our birthdays, our stuff. Our highlight in history on August 15th in 1483, the Sistine Chapel was consecrated by Pope Sixtus IV. On this date in 1914, the Panama Canal opened for traffic. In 1945, in a radio address, Japan's Emperor Hirohito announced that his country had accepted terms of surrender for ending World War II. 1961, as workers began constructing a Berlin Wall made of concrete, East German soldier Conrad Schumann leapt for freedom over a tangle of barbed wire in a scene captured in a famous photograph. 5 years ago, former NBA referee Tim Donaghy pleaded guilty to felony charges for taking cash payments from gamblers and betting on games he'd officiated in a scandal that rocked the league. Donaghy spent 13 months in prison. What's our birthday? Here, we should have a George Carlin. It has a thought for the day. I know we don't do that, but it's from George Carlin, so I'm going to do it. Men are from Earth. Women are from Earth. Deal with it. Okay, thank you. Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer, 74 today. Rock singer, musician Tom Johnson from the Doobies is 64. Movie director Alejandro Gonzalez, Iñárritu, is 49. Actress Deborah Messing is 44. Actor Ben Affleck is 40. Actress Jennifer Lawrence from The Hunger Games is 22. Say happy birthday to them and happy birthday to you if it is yours today.
Happy birthday to you.
Here's the news. Another action-filled adventure.
All right. This is CalcoastNews.com time, and here's our news update from Calcoast News, and it's not pretty. I got to tell you that right now. I got to tell you before we get into it, it's not pretty. Two acts of vandalism that targeted the gay athletic director of Mission College Prep Catholic High School in San Luis Obispo are being investigated as hate crimes. On April 26th, gay athletic director of Mission College Prep Catholic High School, Bailey Brown, discovered someone had slashed her car tires, scratched her car, and was parked outside her Pismo Beach home. A message of hate, we with a heart, role models, was scrawled in the car. The cost of the vandalism estimated $3,000. A month later, officials at Mission Prep discovered school property had been vandalized and comments were left that disparaged the sexual orientation of Brown. Pismo Beach and San Luis Obispo police departments continue to investigate the alleged hate crimes. So this is, you know, the lesson dwindles as you would have them doing to you. It's fallen on deaf ears in one particular case right there. Okay. There's more to it, too. There's about the guy who's ahead of some mucky dude there that's up there in the Archbishop of Monterey, the Archdiocese of Monterey. He said, what we really like to do is be able to get in touch with this person and see if we could find out why they're so upset. Well, now that they've committed a felony, I don't think the person's going to sit down and say, okay, I'll sit down and talk to you about why I'm upset. I don't think that's going to happen. So that's what's going on at CalcoastNews.com at this moment. But the moment from now, something new could come up. So make sure you check out CalcoastNews.com and do it daily.
CalcoastNews.com on KYNS, your news station.
All right. There's a story. I don't know why it hasn't hit. Let me do something here real quick. I don't know why it hasn't hit CNN yet, and I'm kind of flipped out about it, because it's like, are you kidding? It's not here, though. It's not here yet. I know it just happened. Well, fairly recently it happened. Oh, here it is right here. Here it is right here. Okay, this is a story. This is a guy. This is a story about a young man who's arrested. Well, he's put in the back of a police car. He's not actually arrested, but he has handcuffs on, so maybe he is arrested. Anyway, point of the matter is this. He somehow, with his handcuffs behind him, he committed suicide. So what they try to do is reenact how that was possible. And we'll find out more about the story.
KTLN's Evening Express with Ryan Smith, Clark Howard, and Aisha Sissé.
It's 5 to 7 o'clock, so that's when people just want to relax, but they want to get caught up on what happened during the day. That's where we come in.
HLN's Evening Express, weekdays 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern.
Suicide or police cover-up? A 21-year-old Chavis Carter mysteriously died while handcuffed in the back of a police car on July 29th in Jonesboro, Arkansas. Authorities say Carter shot himself after being arrested for marijuana possession. His family says the police killed him and are trying to cover it up. Now, Arkansas police have released a reenactment video showing how they believe Carter killed himself. In the video, you can see a handcuffed police officer pull out a fake gun and demonstrate how this could all happen. But does the video tell the whole story? Criminal defense attorney and CNN legal contributor Paul Cowan is out front tonight. Paul, the question, as always, does this add up? Have you ever seen anything like this? Someone committing suicide with a handgun, handcuffed, in the back of a police car.
This is the most bizarre police shooting or alleged police shooting I've ever seen. I've never seen a fact pattern even close to this. Carter was handcuffed behind his back. The police would have had to have missed a hidden weapon when they put him in the back of the car. And they say he committed suicide. Now, would a 21-year-old kid on a marijuana charge kill himself in the back of a police cruiser? A bizarre fact pattern, and one that's going to be very, very hard for the police to defend against, and that is the charges that they are responsible.
And how common are suicides in police custody?
Well, surprisingly, over 2,000 people died in police custody in a three-year study that was done by the Department of Justice. Of that number, 12% were suicide, so over 200 people actually did commit suicide while in police custody, according to federal statistics. That's a three-year study that they did. So it does happen, but I've never seen one case involving a handcuffed man using his own weapon.
Well, and then the flip side, obviously, is questions of police brutality, because it is hard to imagine how a young man arrested for marijuana possession is so overcome with grief that he decides to commit suicide in the back of a police car. We've come a long way since days when police brutality may have been more common. But what is the likelihood that something like this would occur?
Well, the flip side of this, John, is why would the police kill somebody in this way? If they were going, you hear about cases where the cops stage a killing. Maybe they make it look like the kid was trying to assault them when he was not. But here, would the police shoot somebody in the head and then handcuff him behind his back and put him in a locked police car? It doesn't really create a great scenario of defense for the police officers involved, which makes this one of the most utterly bizarre police shootings I have ever seen. And now they've staged this thing with the, you know, the police officer demonstrating how it could be done. You know, you could get a Cirque du Soleil contortionist to cook an omelet, probably wearing handcuffs, but that doesn't prove that that's the way things went down with real live people. So could this young man have shot himself? I think, if anything, it's going to turn out to be an accidental discharge of the weapon as Mr. Carter was trying to get the weapon out of his back. If that would be something maybe that the police could live with in terms of an explanation, but to say he was trying to commit suicide, I think they're going to have a hard time with that as an explanation. But we'll see. Forensic evidence is going to be the key, and it's not all in yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine how that could happen organically, accidentally shooting yourself in the back of the head.
Well, maybe it's a Saturday night special. He's trying to wrestle it loose. It hits the bottom of the floor and accidentally discharges upward. I'm purely speculating because we don't know the forensic evidence.
And everyone is innocent until proven guilty, and police officers above all deserve the benefit of the doubt. But there's a lot about this case that doesn't.
And they don't deserve any more doubt than anybody else, John, in a murder case. So the law holds them to the same standard.
Absolutely. There you go. Now, here's what's interesting also. He was searched twice for a weapon. Searched twice for a weapon, and they didn't find a weapon. So that was a little bit strange. And then, what else, sir, can I tell you? Well, the forensic evidence they're talking about, is obvious. So the police couldn't cover this up. The man, there's going to be forensic evidence in the car if he shot himself in the car, obviously. You know? And then the coroner, depending on what he was shot with, the coroner can put instantly say, okay, this is what he was shot with, you know. It is a strange story, but I saw that earlier today, and I wanted to share that with you because it's just kind of weird, just kind of very, very odd. The world's odd. Okay, the world's really odd. There's some really weird things in the paper today. Let me go here next. I'll tell you why. When I read this, I was stupefied. That's a good word, I think, for me when I wake up in the morning. Stupefied. And I stay that way all day sometimes. But here's the deal. Here's the NFL, no more interference. What they're talking about is they now have digital headsets that are now going to not get confused with airlines and stuff. But here's a quote here. The San Francisco 49ers offensive coach Greg Roman felt like he kept asking quarterback Alex Smith on his headset last season, "Can you hear me?" While the NFL's coach-to-quarterback radio connection has been part of the game for three decades, the most popular sports league has not always been on the cutting edge of technology. It was one time when I was doing it, and it happened to be on the same frequency as an airline in a certain city, Roman said, and it was a critical situation in the game, and all you hear is Southwest pilots talking. If he could hear them talking, they could possibly hear him talking. So here they're trying to fly an airplane, land an airplane perhaps, take off an airplane. And they have a football coach on the same frequency, and what he's concerned about is it was a critical point of the game. Not the fact that it was critical that there was, you know, 100 people on an airplane flying around. I find that absolutely amazing that that's where you'd put your priority in this particular case. But it can happen, though. It can happen. Dodgers and Giants tied for first, which is pretty cool. And so we congratulate the Dodgers once again, another win. So that was really cool. All right, that's sports right there. That's all I had to say about sports was that, you know, I'm glad they got that straightened out because that's, you know, it's so important that they had that straightened out. Okay. Other things that are going on that are like, here's another one of these airline stories I want to share with you. Because I don't fly, so I don't have to worry about going to the airport and getting fondled or whatever, assaulted, whatever people call it. Whatever that is they call it, I don't have to worry about it.
On board a Virgin Australia flight, Sydney firefighter Johnny McGurr says he was profiled simply because he's a man.
As soon as I boarded it, I was a presumed pedophile.
Since he was sitting next to two young boys who were unaccompanied by adults, he was asked by the airlines to switch seats with a female passenger. It's Virgin's policy to make sure there are no male passengers or empty seats next to children flying alone. McGurr complained to the airline and explained how he felt.
It was interesting, really ashamed, like I'd done something wrong and embarrassed.
In a statement, Virgin says this has been a long-standing policy that was based on customer feedback, and in light of recent feedback, we are now reviewing the policy. Our intention is certainly not to discriminate in any way. It's a controversial policy. In 2010, a man sued British Airways for sex discrimination and won after being forced to move away from unaccompanied minors sitting next to him. Right now, there's no major U.S. carrier that specifically prohibits men from sitting next to unaccompanied children. And since there's no nationwide Department of Transportation policy for airlines, carriers are left to figure out what's best. Children safety advocates support what some international airlines are doing.
We're trying to prevent child victimization. We know that the overwhelming majority of sex offenders are male, so by removing that situation, you're lowering the risk.
Travelers we spoke with have mixed views about the policy.
I would be fine as long as the airline has a watch on what he's doing and he's monitored. I think that is discriminatory.
Because my kids, I feel, you know, unless I'm not there with them or another parent, I would feel more comfortable if the policy was in effect.
Many domestic travelers we spoke with also didn't even know this policy existed on some airlines. We also reached out to the American Civil Liberties Union. They did not want to comment on this story. Sandra Endo, CNN, Washington.
Well, thanks, Sandra, right there. We didn't want to comment on the story, but that's an interesting tale to me because there's a preponderance of molesters that are obviously male. Why doesn't the airline know that they have an adult and two children sitting side by side that aren't on the same credit card or whatever it would be? They're not related. Wouldn't they know that? Couldn't they figure that out before it ever happened? Maybe not. Anyway, seems a little bit strange to me. Same strange to me, I'll tell you. I think they could figure it out, I thought. Right, other things happen. We have an interesting story today. You know, sometimes you can get dragged into being famous, whether you wanted to or not. And so this was the story of Ron Nelson, who was one of the CHP responders to the James Dean crash in 1955. He died at the age of 94 on August 7th. And so at first he was more annoyed at everybody bugging him all the time about, you know, what happened and what he find, what he see. And then he kind of got into it. You know, so he sort of, according to his son, he sort of said, okay, well, I'll go for this program and then I'll be semi-famous because I happen to be there. Anyway. Never before, and nor do I ever imagine ever will. Well, yeah, no, because, you know, you can't say, no, you can't. I would say to you, never before in Hollywood has someone done so little and become so famous so fast. Does that make sense? Is that true? You think that's true? James Dean, he make three movies? All of a sudden he's an icon. I think he became an icon just, you know, sometimes people die and they get iconic for some reason. I'm not sure. You know, Heath Ledger, you know, he didn't become an icon, but in a few movies. Now, this is cracking me up. I got to tell you the truth. They're going to have horseback riding at the Madonna Inn. And for $95, you'll be able to get on a horse. They're going to get special horses that are people-friendly horses, you know, not wild stallions you have to try to somehow mount. Anyway, but they're going to have these horses, and you can go on different rides for an hour, $95. And then they'll have sunset trail rides and all kinds of happy stuff. So here's what Clint Pierce said, though, about this. He said, the hope is that the horseback rides will help set Madonna apart from other hotels in the county. You'd think that Madonna Inn is somewhat set apart from other hotels in the county without a horse.
At Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, we're all about improving your life. When you remodel your kitchen or bath, we want to make sure that you get exactly what you want. A fabulous spa-like bathroom with a walk-in shower, invigorating shower heads, and state-of-the-art faucets. Maybe your dream is a beautiful country farmhouse sink. Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath has the fixtures. You have the dreams.
Pacific Coast Kitchen and Bath, behind Trader Joe's in San Luis Obispo. Lenny's been pretty upset with the Dodgers this year, and he's thinking about switching teams. Hi, this is Michael Morin from Morin Brothers Automotive with Lenny and Gertie, the diagnostic duo. If your car is reaching the end of its career and you're thinking of switching to a newer model, give us a call at Morin Brothers before you buy, especially if you're looking for a used car. We can recommend the right car for you and check out a used car before you buy. If you're going to pick a losing team, you want to pick one you love.
Call Morin Brothers Automotive at 541-2407. Look for the building with the green metal. Woof! Time now for your community calendar. Every Saturday through August 18th is Movies at the Mission in San Luis. And it is free. Movies start at 7 o'clock and they are family friendly. So bring your blankets and a picnic dinner and come on out to the Mission. All movies start at 7 o'clock every Saturday through August 18th. CASA of San Luis Obispo County is recruiting new volunteers to become advocates and mentors for foster children. If you would like more information, please call 541-6542 or visit slowcasa.org. Get ready for some fun. People of all ages will enjoy the entertainment at the Stone Soup Music Fair happening on Saturday, August 25th at Ramona Garden Park. If you would like more information, call 489-9091. And if you have something happening in your zip code, we want to hear about it. Calendar at RadioCentralCoast.com.
She remembers the nights he'd come calling. His yellow silk tie, in love she saw him falling for her in the fire of July. Then one day as the nights grew longer, blackberry winter in a little white church, stood a young pretty bride. Forever changed.
Nothing ever stays.
California is number one at a lot of things. Surfing, wine. We're the state with the most millionaires, the most nonconformists, the most millionaire nonconformists. That's why Farmers, the number one insurance group in California, is proud to have been born right here. Our 4,200 agents statewide have the experience to help you tailor a plan for the unexpected.
You can't go wrong with a guy named Wright, so give Farmers agent Mike Wright a call at 541-3942.
Number one ranking based on market share of property and casualty insurers in California.
Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about. Country Oaks, owned and operated by John and Sharon Henning. They're friends of mine, really nice friends, and that niceness shows at their 57-bed skilled nursing facility at 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria. Country Oaks specializes in short-term rehabilitation and long-term care. Country Oaks accepts Medicare, Medi-Cal, HMOs, and private insurance, and will do the paperwork for you. They offer physical, occupational, speech, enteral, and IV therapies, including a fully equipped therapy room. At Country Oaks Care Center, your loved ones will find a warm and caring staff and a home-like atmosphere. All activities are geared to individual needs and desires, as well as nutritious meals and that extra ounce of caring and a cup of slow-roasted coffee. From Rotary to their annual float participation in the Santa Maria Elks Rodeo Parade, the Hennings are involved in their community. At 830 East Chapel in Santa Maria, Country Oaks Care Center, caring for the loved ones that you care about.
They're caring for the loved ones you care about right there, Country Oaks. They do a great job, too. You're Bill Benko. This is Talk of Sheep, your Friends and Neighbors Network. And it's interesting to talk to John and Sharon because there's new rules, and which is good, I guess, in you know, its own way. I mean, you make sure people are safe and sound and all that. But sometimes they get really out there, the rules that people come up with. 7-inch tablet wars, how low can prices go? We have a story here, and we'll see what they say. Hopefully lower. I mean, is that what we're all hoping for? This is a thing to tell you. The low end of the tablet market keeps getting more interesting as device makers scramble to lure people in with cheap hardware. The latest move comes from Barnes and Noble. Over the weekend, they slashed their prices across its Nook tablet line. Nook Color, previously $169, now $149. Nook tablet with 8 gigabytes of storage, $199, now $179. And Nook tablet with 16 gigabytes of storage, previously $249, now $199. Compared to the Nook ColorBook, a tablet has a sharper and snappier dual-core processor and better battery life, but both Nooks have Microsoft SD slots for expandable storage. All of Barnes & Noble's tablets run a highly modified version of Android with an emphasis on e-book and magazine reading. Barnes & Noble also runs its own app store, though it's not as extensive as Google Play, and there aren't nearly as many free apps available. I still have my Kindle. I got an old Kindle. But I thought that was interesting right there. All right. Phones, I guess the new iPhone's going to be coming up because they're lowering the price on the one that's out now. So that's the price is going down, so that's what's probably going to happen. Yeah. They have compare and contrast here on the front page of the paper today with lowest capsule and all, you know, back and forth. Yeah, whatever. All right, immigration officials brave for a wave of applications. They expect in the neighborhood of 1.2 million. Now, these, once again, and this is, it's interesting what President Obama's done with this, I find. This is not your standard case of I'm climbed over your fence and I'm looking for a job and now you've caught me and now what? This is a case of these people that were brought to this country by their parents without their knowledge because they were too young to know or without their choice because they were old enough to know but had no choice. So these are people that are brought by illegals into this country, and they've finished high school here. They've been in the service here, some other criteria. But anyway, it's especially if they've been honorably discharged from the service, one would have to say, well, you know, are you kidding? They served the United States of America in the military. First off, what's weird is, in a way, is that you can get into the military as an undocumented alien. You can? How do you do that? Anyway, I don't know. So that's kind of curious to me. But so here's the deal is that they're going to get a chance to stay 2 years. And something has to happen within that two-year period. But now what they're afraid of is what a lot of these people are afraid of is that let's say Romney and the Republicans win the election and the whole thing gets thrown out. And they say, okay, we're going to round you up and herd you out, and that's the way it's going to be. So a lot of people are hesitant to come forward because then everybody will know who they are. So that's an interesting dilemma in this great country of ours. Okay. It's interesting. Diablo Impact Report gets okay. This thing's going on and on, back and forth about Diablo and what it's going to do, and is it going to hurt the seals and the whales and the fish, and is it going to screw up the fishing, you know, as far as the fishermen are concerned in Morro Bay and Port San Luis, of which there's very few fishermen left, really. You know, there's what an amazing thing. And so, I mean, here was a comment. Let me read this comment for you real quick. Over here. Well, one person said, Pedro Reyes, State Deputy Director of Finance, said we could sit here and look at this for infinity, said, I think we need to move forward. But then there's other people that said, you know, if you hurt the fishes and the seals and the things, it's not going to be good. Some urged the commission to deny the survey because of the damage they would do to ocean life. Others urged the commission to delay its decision in order to more safely study the effects of the survey. I don't have an answer to this. I have to say I'm not on either side of this one, really. It's a little bit weird. Can I say this? It's a little bit weird if, you know, Diablo's been operating for, what, 25, 30 years, and then all of a sudden we find out there's some fault that we didn't know was there, and this would cause us to shut down the plant? I guess that's the idea, but it seems a little awkward at best, so I'm not sure I get it. All right, now I'm flipping and flopping again on a dang mural up in Atascadero. I can't help myself. I'm having a heck of a time with this darn mural. All right, here's the deal. So here's the issue. Now I kind of realize I forgot about this part of the issue yesterday, but here's the thing. It's a sign ordinance. The sign ordinance says you can't have signs. So they're saying this isn't a sign. This is a mural. The people had the bicycles on the side of the bicycle building and said, that's not a sign. That's pictures of bicycles. So apparently the Atascadero sign ordinance is somewhat ambiguous, whereas San Luis Obispo's they might want to copy because San Luis Obispo wants to bring every nickel they can out of any sign you have. So you know, they have a comprehensive way of determining what's a sign, I tell you. And the thing that makes all this sort of ludicrous when you think about it is maybe it shouldn't be called a sign ordinance. Maybe it should be called a what you can do with the outside of your building ordinance because if I showed 100 people 100 pictures of different objects, 50 of which were signs, I would have bet 100 people out of the thing would pick out the 50 things that were signs and the 50 things that aren't signs. You know what a sign is. We all know what a sign is. It's a sign. I've told this story, but it was just such a crack up. When KBC was at the corner of Walnut and Choro, and I was the operations director there. And so the city came by. This was when they first started saying, okay, you're going to pay for your sign. So we had a big sign in the front that said KBC, and I forget how much they said I was going to get charged for that. I forget, it was $75 or something. Not a big sign, you know, little sign. And then I'm walking the guy back to his car, and there's a sign on the back door that said employees only. And he said, well, we have to charge you for that. I go, you do? And he goes, yeah, probably about $15 or something. I said, just a second. I went over, I tore the sign off the back of the door and handed it to him here. Said, you can have that. We don't need it. We know who goes in there. He didn't take it. That's a real strange world sometimes. That's a fair spending is question. Oh, not here we go again. Here we go again. The government, the government. Is there anybody responsible in government at all? Is there some government that's responsible for itself, some body of government that's responsible for itself, some division, some entity of government that says, yes, we're going to try to do the right thing all the time? Do we have none left? I don't think we do. Republican lawmakers raising questions about spending at training conferences held in Florida last year by the Veterans Affairs Department. And this the training thing is always a little bit questionable to me anyway about what are you actually getting trained to do? You know, is a seminar. I mean, I've been to seminars that cost lots of money that a business sent me to and said, here, this guy's going to teach you something new. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Another either way, you were charged the money. So here's the thing. I don't know what they do there, but the committee VA authorized $9 million for a series of conferences and said a preliminary investigation has found the planning trips for the conference cost taxpayers thousands of dollars. This is planning the trips cost thousands of dollars. He says VA employees reportedly received gifts, including alcohol, concert tickets, and spa treatments. I'm flabbergasted by it. I'm just absolutely flabbergasted by it, you know? I've worked at a lot of places, and never has anybody said to me, do you want a spa treatment? Nobody's giving me booze. Nobody's giving me a spa treatment. What's the other? Concert tickets. I've not even gotten those. So I'm not sure I get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. And this is why, by the way, this is while, by the way, you have hundreds upon hundreds of veterans that are waiting a year to 2 years to have their cases reviewed before the VA acts on it, and it's taking that long. So it's good that we spend the money on sending people to conferences and stuff when we could help the vets instead. Oh, man. Didn't want to really read that today. But I did. I did. What else do I have up here? Something else I was going to tell you about. Something else I wanted to share with you. From the video world. And hopefully it doesn't, looking at it, I try to make sure I try to pick things that you don't have to really see in order to get to. Well, that's a big deal. I said yesterday, I said it's just too long. Well, let's listen to a little bit of it anyway. This is because they have the first female four-star, U.S. four-star general, which I congratulate the military on doing, because I think that's really great. But it's only the first. That's not so great.
I'm Mark Thompson with Time Magazine. We're at the Pentagon today to talk to the only two women ever to hold the rank of four-star officers in the U.S. military. They are General Ann Dunwoody of the U.S. Army and General Janet Wolfenbarger of the U.S. Air Force. And is this the first time you've met?
It is. It is.
It is.
Is it sort of like looking into a mirror?
It is.
Seeing those stars on...
You see the caliber, and I know why she was promoted, just having this opportunity to chit-chat with you.
But people don't understand in the civilian world the importance of four stars. But when you walk around this building among other military people, isn't that true that a layperson might think, okay, an officer is an officer?
Now, everybody has a saluter. Everybody.
Culture. It's really hierarchical, and it's really a pyramid. And you guys are that little stone right at the tippity top.
Diamond.
Diamond. A girl's best friend. Can you tell us a little story about yourself when you realized you had become a role model?
I avoided early in my career any opportunity to go to, for instance, a women's leadership symposium. I have now since had the opportunity to attend some women's leadership symposiums as the senior ranking woman in the Air Force. And the generations that have followed us, they are hungry to be able to interact with the people that came before, to understand what works and what doesn't, and how did you find that life balance. And I've come to appreciate that I do have a responsibility to give back, to represent my service, so that we can showcase that the Air Force, in fact, has embraced diversity, that there are paths in which women and others of diverse backgrounds can aspire to reach the pinnacles.
Do people assume things about you? Do males assume things about you that you sort of have to show? Some folks say, I have to try harder because I'm this or because I'm that. Has the military moved beyond that, and that's not so true anymore, or is there still an element of sexism or chauvinism remaining?
Gender matters, yes, and I think we've come such a long way. When I joined the Army in 1975, we still had the Women's Army Corps.
To which you
were part of,
enlisted or were commissioned in.
That's correct. But that disbanded right after, within the year, and then we started the integration of women into the Army. And like everything, it's an evolution. And you look around in all the fields and you see women excelling. I think when we entered and we started that, it wasn't a popular decision like many decisions that are made at a time. But women demonstrated and showed that they could perform equally and, carry the same rucksack as their male counterparts in the minutes.
The rucksack right there. See, we used to call it a sea bag because I was in the Navy. Okay, a rucksack, sea bags, all the same thing. All right, so that's what the ladies had to say. That's a big deal. That one lady has so many ribbons, I can't tell you. Holy dump truck. She must be doing undercover stuff, She must be like a Navy SEAL. She's in the Army. What's that called? Green Berets? Or she's a Special Forces person or something? She had to be. Otherwise, where would you get all those? Yes, it's lonely at the top. You just ask the people below her. Cheryl, I feel so bad when this happens. You know, I've said to you, I am very simple. I'm not a big fan of things. I'm not a big fan of any particular singer or any particular star. You know, I'm not a fan type. But I admire what they do, and I certainly don't think they should be harassed by the paparazzi and other lunatics. And Sheryl Crow has a guy who's been after her, and he's threatened to shoot her and Harvey Weinstein. Philip Gordon Sparks agreed to stay away from the Grammy winner and Weinstein after an hour-long hearing in which he accused the pair of stealing $7.5 million from him, videotaping and following him without permission and leaving him homeless. Who understands? And a forensic psychiatrist who interviewed Sparks recently called him imminently dangerous. Now, how would you feel about... You have a restraining order. What is that? Who cares? That just means that if the person decides to come and shoot you, they'll be violating the restraining order. That's just too weird. It's just scary stuff. It's just not right. Evelyn Lozada is ending her 41-day-old marriage to Chad Johnson after he gave her the old headbutt. And now's the end of that. And so she says there's no way to get this thing back on track. Johnson reaffirmed his love, however. And I wish Evelyn nothing but the best, which would be not you, of course. Okay. Now, here was a story, a local story that I didn't get. I don't understand the story, so maybe you can help me with this one. A 43-year-old San Luis Obispo bicyclist suffered two broken legs Tuesday afternoon being hit by a car, according to San Luis PD. Thomas Stipovich was traveling southbound on Santa Rosa Street near the intersection with Boyson Avenue. Now, you know where that Carl's Jr. is right there, and then Boyson goes... Okay, so it was right there, and he's traveling south. He said at 4:40, he was struck by a car traveling the opposite direction. There's a divider in the road all the way in that whole section of Santa Rosa. There's a divider all the way from Highland all the way down to Foothill. And farther. So how, I don't understand how somebody could be driving on the wrong side of the road. And if they are, the guy says drugs and alcohol were not involved in the crash, police said. But it's not saying the person was a wrong way driver. But otherwise, I don't see how it was, I don't see how that's possible from what the physical conditions are of that area. Now, if a community group known for its opposition to Walmart in Atascadero intends to sue the city, according to documents filed Monday, Save Atascadero plans to contest the legality of the city's June 26th approval of the project El Rio Road and El Camino Real. So that litigation can delay construction for a year. Anyway, we'll tie that thing up there. I'll show you. Now, we mentioned yesterday Steve Jobs' home was burglarized big time, and it was quite a bit of dough, $60,000 worth of stuff. And so the guy who did the robbing, he's one of these, got these strange names, Kerim McFarlane of Alameda, was arrested August 2nd. What they say was he didn't realize it was in Steve Jobs' home. It was just a target to him. He still does the same amount of time. I guess it doesn't really matter, though. It doesn't matter if he knew where he was or he knew where he wasn't. It just doesn't matter. Yeah. Now, this is interesting here. Now, the political stuff going back and forth about chains and riding on a car and all, God, I can't endure it all. I just can't take it. But here's the deal. Republican lineup appeals to loyalists and independents. Now, this is very interesting because this is the idea is that, you know, and understandably, the biggest concern is the people that have become independents over the course of the last 4 years or longer. And people that just say, you know what, I can't follow the way the ideology of either party is particularly going, so I'm just going to have to decide what I decide. Well, that's become quite a large number of people, and so I can see where both sides would try to appeal to that at this point. And somebody made a comment. Well, where did I see it? I don't know. It had to do with. Here's the bottom line to the vice presidency as we know it today. The bottom line of the vice presidency is if the president is shot, Can the guy who's the vice president do it? It doesn't matter if Ryan has all these plans for the economy. It doesn't matter how smart the man is. And all this doesn't really amount to a hill of beans, nor does it for Joe Biden. It doesn't really, who cares, you know, unless what you're looking at is a presidency much like, you know, Bush-Cheney, where Cheney was obviously doing a lot of the thinking. But, you know, otherwise, you know, the vice president is doesn't do much. He never has. You know, that we sent Richard Nixon down to South America, get tomatoes thrown at him, right, when he was vice president. But that we don't do that much with vice presidents. And so the whole thing is the vice president's sort of there as a safety outlet in case something happens to the president. Well, there's a one heartbeat away, they always say, one heartbeat away. Well, I certainly would have confidence that that young man would be fine if he was the president of the United States and had become president. I don't see anything wacky about that. But as far as, you know, being vice president, it's like, I don't know how effective they can be. But, again, it depends on what kind of relationship they have with the president. You know, if they have a close relationship and they want to share thoughts, I would think. Californians are told to go easy because we're in this heat wave thing that's not good. And they're saying, please, you got to be careful with this because it's really bad news. And so the question is, are we doing what we're supposed to be doing with it? And I don't know. But I hope we are. I don't have air conditioning to turn on. So I don't. And then guess what I did yesterday, though? I have a ceiling fan, and I have a portable fan. So I went on the internet to say, which one of these uses more juice? You know, which would tend to use more power? And it, from what I could gather on the internet, it said that the thing that covers a broader area at a slower speed, which of course is a ceiling fan, is probably uses a lot less electricity than a small portable fan that's trying to move a lot of air at one time, which makes sense, I guess. So there, if you have your ceiling fan, go ahead and put that on. That's legit. You can have that. But you can't put it on fast. Okay. Here we go again. I don't know why this is like a mystery to us, and then all of a sudden we decide to act on it and go, you know, have you noticed there's something crappy about the water? This is out of Fresno. Environmental groups filed a lawsuit Tuesday against the California Department of Health for failing to establish a safe drinking water standard for the cancer-causing chemical made famous in the film Aaron Brockovich. The lawsuit claims the delay is unjustified, seeks a court order setting a faster timeline. So this is this whole thing about this stuff that I couldn't pronounce in a million years. It's in there. The chemical comes chiefly from industrial pollution. It's used for production of stainless steel, textile dyes, wood preservation, leather tan, and an anti-corrosive, but also occurs naturally. So you got this stuff there, you know. I like farming because I eat, you know, but I have to say, yeah, one has to assume, I think, that, you know, you're going to have more problems with your water if you're somewhere where you're constantly putting stuff on the ground, which I don't know why that comes as a mystery. These have been all of a sudden a surprise or something. Outage drives old DMV office, the old ways. They had a power outage at DMV, so people had to, well, people couldn't do much. Matter of fact, they couldn't do that much. They had driving tests because people could still do driving tests, but all the other stuff was kaput. So they had to just sort of back out for a couple of hours. Anyway, so the thing was down Tuesday for about 3 or 4 hours. This, I want to remind you of something. If you have to go to the DMV, you have to get your new license because you got to get the new snappy job that has the fancy photo and all that. If you have to go to the DMV, make an appointment. Make an appointment. I was never that picky about the DMV anyway. You know, when everybody say, you got to wait forever and all that. Yeah, when you have some kind of a funny boat that, you know, also can fly and drive on the highway and stuff, and you got to get it registered, that causes a delay. But, you know, I thought the DMV people were pretty darn good compared, considering what they had to put up with. But anyway, with this appointment thing, you're in and out in 10 minutes, depending on if you got something crazy, but if you don't have anything crazy going on. You know, I mean, you're like wham bam. They just get you in the appointment time. I was 1 minute after my appointment time was set, and I was out in 5 minutes easy, less than 5 minutes. So remember, you can do that now, unless there is a power outage, in which case, that's not going to work. Here's a picture of fire surrounded. There's a huge fire up in Washington State. And here's a picture of a house that's surrounded by fire that somehow made it. I don't know how it could have made it, but it did. Anyway, there's just so many. There's hundreds of fires right now and hundreds of evacuees, and there's just lots of terrible stuff. Wildfire threatened 500 homes in Southern California. Cluster of four lightning spark wildfires in northeastern San Diego County stretched nearly 4 square miles, state fire officials said. So it's really kind of crazy. Democratic Congressman Dennis Cardoza, whose growing dislike for Washington politics was a factor in his decision not to seek re-election, says, "To heck with it. I'm done as of midnight tonight. That's how much I can't stand it." I know how he feels. I can't stand watching it. Anyway, so he said, "I'm done." That's the way that is. Now, this is, I don't think we really had to be told this, but I think it's important that you know that a California sea lion, blinded by a gunshot wound, is recovering at Sausalito's Marine Mammal Center. So he was shot, I guess, it sounds like a shotgun, and he's blind in both eyes. And so the last thing they say is, his name is Whirlybird. He's recovering nicely. We'll both be able to return to the wild, you think? I mean, they don't have little canes with white canes with red tips for seals. So I would think they can. And a mountain lion has been prowling Griffith Park. I think he came from the Santa Monica Mountains. Boy, to be downtown L.A. in Griffith Park and be eaten by a mountain lion, that'd be kind of rough. That'd be kind of rough. All right. Well, then I had this interesting picture in the paper today. Interesting-looking cats. One of 4 3-week-old sand cats. You ever heard of a sand cat? I never heard of one. Appears from a cave Tuesday in Israel near Tel Aviv. The safari spokeswoman reported a total of 7 sand cats living in captivity in Israel and said the county's sand cat population has been believed to be completely extinct, mostly because of habitat destruction. So I guess what they're saying is they thought that the 7 that were living in the city in homes, that they were the last ones left. Are there males and females? Can we get them together at all? Because there that's from what my father told me. Anyway, but now it looks like there's... Now there's more. They thought they were completely extinct. Yeah. Okay. I don't understand the story, to tell you the truth. Maybe the 7 were in the cave, and they weren't. It says they've been living in captivity, though, in Israel. Well, that's not captivity. Forget that story. I don't know what they're talking about. Okay. And then you get these stories that, you know, they're so far out in wacko land that there's no way to understand them. A judge ruled Tuesday that an Illinois man and his wife will stand trial in Kansas on child abuse charges after 2 of their children were found in a Walmart parking lot tied up, a practice the father's lawyer described as religious belief in the family and a way to guard against demons. I think, what do they call them? Walmartians. They are right there. We have CBS News. We're going to join here next at 1 o'clock and find out what's going on 1340 KYNS San Luis Obispo. Thank you. Peggy. Carrie Underwood from her new album, Blown Away today. Hi, you're Bill Banka, Talkers Cheap, Friends and Neighbors Network. And yes, behind the scenes thing, we're just insane, but we finally got things accomplished. That's what's important. That's the most important thing in the whole wide world. All right, here, guess what happened? Did I tell you this yet? No, I didn't. Hypersonic aircraft launched at the Air Force yesterday, spiraled out of control, and was destroyed before it could reach its goal of speeding to 4,600 miles an hour. Didn't come close, actually. The third test of the X-51A, or is it the X-51A, I guess, Wave Rider was launched Tuesday off the California coast from a B-52 modified bomber. It was to fly for 300 seconds, reaching hypersonic speeds at Mach 6, but only flew for 16 seconds, according to the Air Force. Officials said a problem with the tail fin caused the problem. Fault was identified with one of the cruiser control fins. Once the X-51 separated from the rocket booster, approximately 15 seconds later, the cruiser was not able to maintain control due to the faulty control fin and was lost.
It was lost.
Anyway, the Air Force had four X-51A wave riders and tested three. Officials say they did not know when or if the fourth wave rider will be tested. I don't think they're going to stop, do you? You know how much money they got invested in this? Come on. Come on. Yeah, we may never know that they're going to test the other one. We may never know that they're going to build an airplane around the fact that this thing's going to work at some point. We may not know about this airplane for 20 years, but I guarantee you it's out there. It will be out there. Maybe it's out there now. I don't know. I can't tell. Either way. Then there was this story, which I thought was kind of a hoot. One of the top Scrabble players in the country was kicked out of the national championship being held in Orlando, Florida, after a player at a nearby table saw the player in question hoarding blank tiles which can act as wild cards in the game. The National Scrabble Association refused to identify the player, a minor, who had managed to make it all the way to the 24th round. There are 28 rounds in total. According to tournament representatives, a cheating player who was playing in the third division forfeited all of his wins after indiscretion was discovered. The tournament categorizes players into four different divisions. So that's about that. So I'm not sure how you hoard them. I don't know how you do that exactly. I'm not sure. The word cheat is actually worth 7 points, by the way, in the English version of the game. in case you wonder. Did he have them up his sleeve? Did he have them under his watch band? Where did he have these tiles? I'll tell you how these people get away with this stuff, and I need to know. That's what I need to know, what's going on. That's the problem. I need to find out. Other things going on. What did I say yesterday? I said, you know, because here you got the new Republican vice presidential guy. And so I said, they got to get Joe Biden out of the closet and have him go put his foot in his mouth someplace. And he didn't pause. He didn't, you know, just went right in there. Smoking Joe. Now, here's the thing that's interesting. State lawyers knew of California Parks Department's surplus testimony, said the scandal involves the $54 million in so-called hidden assets. Anyway, they said they knew about the whole thing. And I was aware of the underreporting of funds that I was directed by Mr. Lopez not to report that information, according to one of the people in the story. So it was a cover-up. You know, they were covering up. I don't know what – nobody said yet, and it would be interesting to find out. Of course, I fired the lady that ran the department, you know, but be interesting to find out what it was we think we're – this Parks Director, Ruth Coleman. It was be interesting to – I had an aunt named Ruth Coleman, a cousin, whatever she was, cousin. She told the Beast she had learned of the surplus only 2 weeks later – earlier, rather, 2 weeks earlier. So you don't so somebody knew about the money, and somebody wasn't telling somebody else about the money, and why were they doing that? This is what we haven't discovered yet. This is what we don't know. Where was I next? Okay. We got things that are going on in the world that are not good. They just had a raid by Syria right near Turkey. And remember, we talked about this just yesterday, the day before. This whole thing with Turkey, you know, it gets dicey because you have the Chinese and the Russians have a vested interest in Syria. We have a vested interest in Turkey. Are they part of NATO? Probably. Let's see where this goes. This is getting kind of hairy, to tell you the truth. Syria's former prime minister, who fled the country last week, said Tuesday in his first public appearance since his defection that the President Bashar Assad's government is crumbling around him. Mainly because people are doing what he's doing is why. They're just all leaving. So he says it's not looking good. He said based on his experience and stuff, he said the regime is falling apart morally, materially, economically. Here's good news. Japanese researchers found very low amounts of radioactivity in the bodies of about 10,000 people who live near Fukushima. So it's only negligible health risk. Of course, it's negligible health risk when it's not your body. But that's what they're saying. Whoa. You think in San Luis Obispo the no smoking ordinance that we have here in the town is tough? The county ordinances we have are tough? Holy dump truck. I'm just going to read this story to you. It's only two paragraphs. Australia's highest court upheld the world's toughest law on cigarette promotion Wednesday, despite protests from tobacco companies that argued the value of their trademarks will be destroyed under new rules that will strip all logos from cigarette packs. The decision means that starting in December, tobacco companies will no longer be able to display their distinctive colors, brand designs, and logos on packs. The packs will instead come in uniformly drab shade of olive and feature graphic health warnings and images of cancer-riddled mouths and blinded eyeballs. Well, if that doesn't work, I don't know what's going to do it. It'll be delivered to your home in a plain green wrapper. Yeah, we're discreet. Of course, it has the funny pictures on it and all kinds of other things. Now, they did research on drunken drivers and fatal wrecks, and they said that basically they're usually about two times over the legal limit when people that get have been in fatal crashes. Actually, about at least two times over the fatal limit, but that's an average. So what's that? It's 0.10 for, well, just point over 0.10 for us in California. And it's interesting, really, because, you know, but that's the difference between, you know, being able to do what you should do, using your noggin and not using your noggin, I think. I think that's that little stretch in there that's where you lose all control of your thinking. And you say, I'm okay, I can do it. Or something, whatever you say, whatever somebody says. You hear, though, the people that seem to get people arrested for drunk driving that have, you know, 0.30. I mean, they're just out in outer space. But, because... You know, 0.08 is just 0.08 is not much booze. You know, a heavy guy can drink a couple of beers an hour and stay at below 0.08. That's it. As soon as you have number three, you cross the line. And now scientists are plotting driving routes for a new Mars rover Curiosity. They've gone to the auto club, they've gotten the maps, and they're going to say, okay, here's where we're going to go. Because this is really important because they don't want to screw the thing up. But they want. Here's the thing with this Mars rover that's kind of interesting. They made it sort of rugged in its own way. They made it. Was that what's the right word for that? Ruggedish. They made it ruggedish, to hold up to the thing. But they've also are don't want to get bogged down anywhere and stop working. So it's this thing that you. It's a back and forth kind of a thing there. You know, We wanted to go places that the little guys couldn't go, but at the same time, we have to be careful. So that's I can see where that would be. Now, why are we in a search for a shirtless Paul Ryan? Just because we are? I don't know. This is what it says. I'm not in a search for it, but somebody is. Women, I bet. One would suppose.
Don't have to look hard to find an Olympic swimmer soaking in the tub in a Speedo to sell Louis Vuitton designer bags, or to find Tim Tebow wearing only the skin-tight bottom half of his uniform in September's GQ. But when it comes to VP hottie Paul Ryan, he's hiding a six-pack. And a lot of people are looking for it, searching Paul Ryan shirtless on Google. At one point, it was the second most popular term folks were searching under his name, though it's since dropped to fourth.
This is why I love America. A man is nominated to potentially lead our country. One of our first thoughts is, I wonder what his nipples look like.
Yeah, of course we should be concentrating on weightier matters. But everybody's heard by now that Congressman Ryan is a devoted follower of an exercise program that sounds like a secret weapon.
Order P90X now. The sooner you go extreme, the sooner you'll look extraordinary.
But it's hard to tell how extraordinary Paul Ryan looks in that bulky jacket, he told Politico.
I keep my body fat between 6 and 8%.
But your chance of seeing that lack of body fat is about 0%. This sleeveless photo of Ryan with his exercise guru is about as shirtless as he gets. Even though TMZ billed its photo gallery as absclusive, all it was photos of Ryan fully dressed. One website didn't just scour the internet, it begged readers for help finding shirtless photos. Better yet, if you have your own, send those in, but so far, nada. Better not to end up like former Congressman Anthony Weiner, having your chest analyzed.
And it's a shaved chest. Yes.
Or even banished by Barbara Walters.
Take that off, please. I don't want to keep seeing you.
Forget Vladimir Putin or Senator Scott Brown. Paul Ryan is the pinup no one can pin down. So some are resorting to fake Facebook pages and Photoshopped images. But in reality, instead of shirtless, it's all shirts.
Wearing plaid shirts together, wearing white shirts, wearing blue shirts, and here they are wearing Lycra. What's everybody looking at?
These days, the last thing you want is a chest so overexposed it's recognizable even without your head.
The Wienergate man.
Jeannie Mo, CNN, New York.
God. But he's running for, is he running for office again? He's going to run for office again, right? He wasn't worried about that stuff. He's like, eh, what the heck, you know what I mean? I'll do it anyway. Now, here's an interesting story about the low levels in the Missouri River. And because of that, they've found a ship.
It's a river that holds plenty of secrets.
A lot of mysteries in this river.
Yeah, it's amazing to see what appears when the water gets low.
And with the Missouri achieving nearly record low points this summer, things have emerged.
It sunk over there.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Little pieces of history, some known.
I think there's a plaque back there somewhere.
Some long forgotten.
We don't know anything about this.
This unnamed, unknown wreck is one of at least five that hugs the shore of Old St. Charles. But another of these mystery ships does have a story to tell. From the air, you can see it best, the hulking frame of the Montana, a wooden steamboat that was the largest vessel ever to travel the Missouri.
It essentially would cover an entire football field.
It hit a snag back in 1884, a tree underwater.
And then it actually speared.
It drew photographers and made big news at the time. It had been built with ballrooms to please the rich and a cargo capacity to fight the encroaching railroads. Now, every once in a while, when the river's down, it makes treasure seekers look to the water and wonder.
There isn't anything left on it. People always want to go and check it out. There's a few odds and ends and things that show up every once in a while, but with the nature of the river, it might actually be from something else because stuff kind of just rolls on down the river.
This little piece of river history merited its own book, but it's a subject that rarely comes up unless the river is down.
Hello, Bill Senna's Insurance Services. How may I help you?
My mother-in-law just moved in, and I think she slipped a cog in her wheel, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, she's 89 years old and still insists on driving her car, cooks and leaves the oven on, and her medical bills are through the roof. Can you help?
Of course we can help. Bill Senna's Insurance is a full-service insurance agency and has been in business for over 20 years, offering top insurance carriers, giving you only the best protection for the whole family. Medical, dental, home, auto, business, long-term care, life insurance, and even Medicare prescription drug plans for your mother-in-law.
So you're a one-stop shop for all my insurance needs?
Yes, we are. Bill Senna's Insurance gives you peace of mind.
So we're covered if she burns the house down?
Absolutely. And Bill Senna's Insurance Service never charges a fee for our service. And we'll find the right policy for you.
Huh, good. Because I want to live life large and fully charged.
Bill Senna's Insurance is on East Grand Avenue in Dollar Store Center in Arroyo Grande. Or call 489-HELP. That's 489-HELP.
Yeah, I didn't tell you. I'm finally letting John take me out to lunch. I know he's not my type. I just hope he doesn't take me to some place I've ate a million times. Oh, shoot, here he comes. Talk to you later.
Hey there, you ready for lunch?
Sure. Where are we going?
I've been dying to try Slow Brew for lunch.
Okay.
If the same old thing for lunch over and over and over is driving you crazy, stop the madness and try something new at Slow Brew. Affordable, delicious food, great ambiance. It's Slow Brew, downtown Slow, with $3 tacos, your choice of steak, chicken, or Alaskan cod. Vegetarians, try their Peace and Love vegan hummus platter. And all of Slow Brew's salads, burgers, and sandwiches can be ordered in either full or half-size portions. Even their most popular, the Thai Ahi salad. Loosen up your day a little bit by adding one of Slow Brew's award-winning microbrews to your lunch. It's Slow Brew, serving lunch Tuesday through Sunday at 1119 Garden Street, downtown Slow.
I don't know about a new guy, but I definitely have a new lunch spot. Slow Brew.
Reminds me of my wife in the supermarket. Where's she go? One of those. Now, there's, I see in the market, because people have these phones, and they can say, they call each other. I've heard it. Where are you? Oh, over by the cheese. Okay. See, I should have had that. I thought we could at least, you know, maybe I could put a big, one of those long, like white sticks with the orange flag on it, like they have on wheelchairs and stuff. And she could wear that kind of in the back part of herself there. And a little holder, so I could see the orange thing wherever I looked. But she wouldn't do it. Yeah, I was trying. Okay. Violent ends today for school posts. And by the way, there's a lot of people, a lot of school board members are in the offing here. And let me do it this way so we don't get too carried away. Let me tell you what it is. 3 seats on the Templeton board, 2 seats on Kaimukis Elementary board. Tascadero Unified 3, the CMR, 7 total board members. Paso Robles Joint Unified, 4 4-year terms, and San Luis Coastal, no election will be held for the second for the San Luis Coastal Unified School Board. Only the incumbents and current board president are going to be there. They all file for re-election, and they're in there. So that's what's going on with that. All right, so that's what's happening with the thing here. Okay. Other people that are in the news, though. Let's get to some of these strange tales and unusual things that people write. Now here, so this is the thing I was saying yesterday, and the Tribune's saying the same thing, and everybody's saying the same thing. If it's no contest for some local office holder, so what does that mean? You know, are people happy with the people they have? Is Paso Robles happy with Dwayne Picano and Jim App? Maybe. Who knows? But anyway, that's what you got. Pismo Beach, Shelley Higginbotham. You got Tony Farrar, Mayor, and Jim Guthrie and Karen Ray on the city council in Rio Grande. Tascadero, Tom O'Malley's the mayor. So they're just saying this is it. They say it's healthy. You know, competition is healthy, they say, in politics. Does when you're looking at the presidential race right now, does that smell healthy to you? It stinks. It stinks. It has number 2 written all over it. Okay, let me see. Here's some comments that we've made. These are the So They Say things, but these were interesting, I thought. Our hearts and prayers go out to the families, and this is just a senseless tragedy. We are just distraught by the havoc that he has caused. This, of course, in the shooting in Texas. Then Russian foreign minister had this to say. Those in Washington should understand that our bilateral relations will seriously suffer if Russia companies working with Iranian partners in strict accordance with Russia law and UN Security Council resolutions are affected by the American restrictions. She called it undisguised blackmail. Can I say something? Sanctions are undisguised blackmail. They are. That's what they are, sanctions. So I think if you looked sanctions up in the dictionary, it would say undisguised blackmail or something to that effect. So, of course, that's what it is. Please, don't be surprised. Don't be alarmed. Thank God it wasn't a terrorist, but we have to look at this. We had another attack. That's the only way we'll improve the system. This is fascinating here. This is Israeli airline El Al, and a statement of security experts were shocked by the case of a man who swam ashore, scaled a fence, and walked dripping wet into Kenny Airport despite a $100 million system of surveillance cameras and motion detectors. Well, this guy was just a knucklehead. Okay, there you go. Sneakiness revs up in the legislature, according to Dan Walters, you know. They used to have a thing that was called conference committees, and they would, you know, fire things into legislation, you know, just at the last second. Well, they were done away with. So now they have a new thing. It was originally dubbed hijacking. Now it's called gut and amend, which basically is the same thing. You just all of a sudden take a measure that's already in the process, and you mess with it to the point that it has nothing to do with what it had to do with to begin with, and then you fire it through. So last week, an environmental coalition sent a letter to Senate Pro Tem Daryl Steinberg, complaining that an end run on urging that any bill be sent back to committee rather than be moved directly to the Senate floor. And it says, we'll see. I don't think we'll see anything good. We won't do anything. We won't see anything good. It's like weird. It's like, you know, how can Sacramento be so unfixable? Now, here was the thing that I thought was sort of interesting. This man is Steve Probost, who's a Tribune copy editor, and this is what he had to say. Albert Einstein said this. He has a quote. Out of how violent, despicable war seems to me, I would rather be hacked to pieces than take part in such an abominable business, which, if Albert Einstein was still alive, he could travel to certain parts of Africa where there's civil war and be hacked to death before he'd have to participate. So, I mean, you know, there's always the possibility you can do it. I don't think he meant it. But here's the interesting. This is what Steve has to say, which I thought was interesting, but I'm afraid we're going to get too carried away with it. He's saying we should stop using the word war. Like war on poverty, war on drugs, war on this, war on that. He said it's easily said, this three-letter word, but, you know, it's too easily tossed aside, you know, as, you know, we're just going to call it that. And he's got a point. You know, he's got a point, but it's only to a certain point. That's kind of like the same point that somebody made when they said, I wish you hadn't used the word hate on things I hate about the Olympics to Jotopia, but... I guess the question is, how sensitive am I supposed to be? California home prices, Southern California home prices up. Median home price was $306,000. But the important thing is the things are up. That's what we care about right there. U.S. retail spending jumped in July. An increase was reported in every major category and was the biggest raise in 5 months. Europe is edging closer to recession, dragging down by the crippling debt problems of the 17 euro countries. I saw this on the tube last night. I watched it. Most mid-sized luxury cars, including the Mercedes-Benz C-Class, perform poorly in a new front frontal test developed by the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety. So I say this, they're lousy. So here's what they were testing. They weren't testing head-on crashes. They decided they were going to try something different. And they tested the car like if you ran into a pole. Actually, it was a brick wall. You know, it was a cement wall. But, you know, you hit just to the from the side of the car, like where the headlight is, and you smash into something really hard there. Well, so then this becomes an interesting thing, I think. So they say, well, you know, what happened is, you know, because the car's designed to absorb the impact of a frontal crash dead on, that this kind of edgy crash, the passenger compartments weren't able to absorb it correctly. The tires went into the thing and it got all screwed up. And yet, so I don't know what percentage of crashes that is. I think they said 25% of head-on crashes are like this, 25%. So then the question has to be asked, because here we go again with, you know, you want to save money on gas mileage. Everybody's supposed to get better gas mileage and better gas mileage, better gas mileage. So now if you have to decide, design that car so that it now can absorb those impacts successfully, I mean, the car's going to weigh a lot more. There's no way you're going to do it without having the car weigh more. Just like you can't win, kind of. You know? It was interesting, though. I mean, you would be screwed if you were in one of those crashes. There's no question about it. A revamped Camry sedan is selling briskly and attracting a far younger buyer than Toyota ever expected. Because you have to admit, the Toyota Camry was a kind of a, you know, a Bill Benick age person's car. You know, even though I don't have one. But if they want to give me one, I'll drive it. But anyway, they say that they're younger people are driving Camrys now. I would say that the Buick ads are designed for the same thing as the Cadillac STS, you know, for baby boomers, whereas the Accord ads, or Camry ads, Camry ads are more geared for even younger than that now. But it's interesting how they target an audience and say, okay, you know, a target an audience and say, let's go after it. Then last call at some morning bars. During a decline in overnight jobs leads to fewer regulars at pubs open at daybreak. So there used to be the third shift, of course, you know, that was on a lot of factories. And so the guys would get off at 6 in the morning or 7 or 8. And then there was a tradition to go and have a beer before they went home. And so you've got a lot fewer people. And there's not many factories running 24 hours a day these days. So a lot of the bars were saying, well, I think we'll shut it down there and... not open till later. Not McCarthy's, though. They're still on it. And then you always have to wonder. At least I do. I to this day, don't understand it. I want to understand it. I try to understand it. I'd be pleased to understand it, but I don't. But I guess the idea is, well, you at least, I don't know, that you at least have fewer drunks on the road. You know, the fact that the ABC cuts, you can't serve alcohol between 2 and 6 in the morning. 2 and 6. I've always really had the opinion, but I could be wrong, So it'd be interesting to know what other states experience. I always figured that if you have people that are going to drink all night, all day and all night, it'd be better to have them stay there, you know, than have them out in the street at 2 o'clock in the morning. But we don't serve alcohol from 2 to 6. 6 in the morning, doesn't seem a little early for a beer? Can I ask you honestly? Yeah. If you're on vacation, it might be okay for a margarita. So here's a big path that's going in Paso Robles along the Salinas River, and it's a new trail that's going to be there. So it looks like what they're doing is, and I can't tell. They don't say what they're doing, but I'm looking. Crews continue to work on a new all-purpose trail in Paso Robles East Side. But what they're doing is they're putting in some kind of a sewer line or pipeline of some kind in. They're going to pave it, I think. So they want to have this thing done. Because they don't want to get the reputation San Luis Obispo has. There's no city in the world that could dig up its streets as often as San Luis Obispo does. I've lived other places, and I've never seen it. I just have never, ever seen so many streets dug up so many times as San Luis does it. I don't know what the deal on that is. I'm sure there's a good reason we're replacing something, but... Wow. I had no idea. Gal Cuddy wrote an article about the melodrama in Oceana, the Great American Melodrama, has a camp for young kids, and they do acting and stuff, which I don't know that I ever knew that. So I think that's pretty cool. Tell you the truth, that'd be a fun little thing for your kid, wouldn't it? Well, the problem is, of course, is a lot of kids are self-conscious. It was so funny today. It was so funny. I can't remember who was singing. That's the problem. I don't know these things. Oh, it was Carrie Underwood. That's why I got this idea to play Carrie Underwood today. So I turned on the Today Show and Carrie Underwood singing, and they had a lot of young teenagers. I mean, young, just teenagers, girls. Now, if they were a little bit older teenage girls, you know, and the camera goes on and they sing to them and smile and wave and all that, but the younger teenage girls that are just teenage girls are so self-conscious that they turn away from the camera. They don't wave. They don't smile. They just sort of turn away. Growing up just was bad. I mean, growing up sucked. That's because you figure back years ago in society, at the age of 13 and 14 years old, you were out working and getting married. Sort of changed things now. I think the mall's done. Something like that. Something's done. I'm not sure what. Was there anything else I want to tell you about in here? No, I think that was it. There's something up here that I want to share with you. Let me get it here. This is a, have you ever found yourself in a situation where you live where it would not make any, you can't just go to the neighbor on one side. It's not like an apartment building where you can go and say, what is your bill like? Because the people on one side of us are not in the same situation we are at all as far as the size of their house. The people on the other side, we know, use more electricity because of an air conditioner. So you sit there with this bill and you think, boy, that seems high to me. That just seems a little bit high. Well, here was a woman who was overbilled for 25 years, and here's how it happened. Martha Reporter. Slow. After these words.
Uh-oh. Monkey stampede. Mark snaps a few photos, which go directly into his stash. With his deadline looming, the power goes out and everything shuts down. No problem. With Stash, Mark just finishes the article on his tablet and sends it off. Stash ensures all your files are available and up to date across all your devices. Get Mosey Stash today.
When Grace Edwards put her house on the market, she never expected to find out she had been overcharged by CLNP for 25 years. She was paying for two streetlights on Sir Walter Drive. The mistake discovered when a potential buyer asked for past electric bills. Edwards realized she was paying more than she was using, about $30 a month. And it's not chump change. It adds up to nearly $10,000.
That's an incredible amount of money that she has overpaid. But I'm really glad to hear that they did reimburse her.
At first, CLNP refused to reimburse Edwards, but later apologized for the error and inconvenience.
I did speak with Grace Edwards after she had just walked in the door. Now, she's a very nice woman. She does not want to go on camera, but tells me she's just glad this whole entire thing is finally over with. She says the developer she bought this house from had an agreement with CLNP to pay for those two streetlights for a certain amount of time. But she says after that time was up and she took over the house, CLNP never took it off the bill.
I would have to probably kind of look at my bill and to kind of figure out what to look for, mm-hmm. you know, because I wouldn't know what to look for at all, so...
Yeah.
But I'll definitely take a look, for sure.
A closer look.
Definitely.
And other folks around here tell us they'll be doing the same.
Absolutely. And the reason I mention this is because out in front of my house, I have a street light. That's right there. I got a street light in front of my house. That's what I'm saying. We got to get to this story, too, because this is a pregnant man fights for divorce. So we have to hear this.
With Allstate, and it looks pretty serious. Esurance, click or call.
Pregnant man. That's how the headlines referred to Thomas Beattie, who became a media sensation when he got pregnant and gave birth to three kids. He and his wife, Nancy, have split, and he blames Nancy's addiction. Thomas got full custody of the kids, but he says he can't get a divorce yet because the judge isn't sure the marriage is valid or even that Thomas is a man or a woman. The judge overseeing the couple's divorce proceedings is blocking the way, questioning whether the marriage is even valid, and ultimately, whether Beattie is truly male or female. Thomas, now, my understanding is legally you are male, but you feel this judge is questioning your gender.
Yes, I'm fully recognized as legally male through my driver's license, social security index, passport, birth certificate, and in Hawaii I married Nancy as husband and wife.
So what is all this about? I'm confused.
I'm confused as well. Unfortunately, it's not better circumstances. I'm going through a divorce with Nancy, and in the 11th hour, the judge is now questioning whether or not this case is within jurisdiction, whether or not he wants to even grant us a divorce.
So Hawaii recognizes this marriage. How come Hawaii can't divorce the marriage?
Well, Thomas could get a divorce in Hawaii, but he'd have to move back to Hawaii for 3 months. Secondly, after he waits 90 days, once he files for a divorce, it could take another minimum of 2 months, so he'd be without his kids for 5 full months. He is an Arizona resident. He deserves to be allowed to get his divorce in Arizona, and so is Nancy. She's also an Arizona resident.
Now, we asked Maricopa Superior Court for a statement. A representative told us they have none. They are waiting for additional documents from Thomas Beattie and his attorney. David, what...
There you go. They had no comment, really, because they were like, I don't know. I just don't know. Okay, so it was inevitable that was going to happen at some point. You know what I mean? It happened. There it is. There it sits. It goes to show you that I don't care who it is. The marriage and divorce rate is not good. The record is just not good. That's all I can tell you. Help. Okay, let me tell you what else is going on. I'm going to do a little leftover stuff because I didn't get to it and I thought it was interesting. One of the things that has been mentioned here earlier, this was a thing that became this big mystery and all the people were all crazy that watched the space stuff and they were like, whoa, what was that? And there was this flash when Curiosity landed on Mars and started taking pictures, you know, with a kind of a low, low resolution camera. In one picture, there was definitely a flash off in the distance, and the next picture wasn't there. So everybody was going, what the heck was that? What was that? What was the flash? And NASA was saying, it's some kind of anomaly. We don't know what it was. Then they decided to finally realize it because a lot of people speculated, you know, the thing that delivered it, the hovercraft, whatever you call that, space saucer, whatever the thing was, the thing that delivered it to the surface was designed to travel a little ways past and then crash, you know, 1,000 feet or something. And that's what they figured that's what it was. They got the picture of the thing crashing, which was just, kind of amazing in its own way. But they think that's what happened. I think that's pretty amazing, too. Now here's a news of the strange. News of the very strange. A central Pennsylvania woman is facing charges after authorities say she admitted to repeatedly poisoning a man with eye drops more than 3 years. State police say Vicki Jo Mills of McConnellsburg told investigators she placed Visine eye drops in Thurman Nesbitt's drinking water 10 to 12 times since June 2009. Police say Nesbitt's doctor treated him for years for symptoms including nausea, vomiting, blood pressure problems, and breathing trouble. Mills told police she did so. It was, you know why she did it? So he would pay more attention to her. which is really weird because when you make somebody sick, you know, then they pay most of more attention to themselves. Usually. But this doesn't sound like somebody that's got, you know, all the plugs are plugged in, all the wires are right in the way. doesn't sound like everything's there. Okay. Even though the drought we're having is as bad as it is and across the Midwest, the farm states expect to have, are you ready for this? It's amazing to me. Because there's nothing. It's just terrible. But they expect to have the eighth largest harvest ever. Harvest of what? The vegetables or just the husks? I'm not sure. But that's kind of wild to me. That just seems like it's almost impossible. But I just told you the story. It wasn't impossible, apparently. Former soldier defiant in Fort Hood trial sentencing, Abdo Remains Plus, receives 2-plus life terms plus 60 years, now still pursued jihad. So the federal judge in Waco, Texas, sentenced a former soldier to 2 consecutive life sentences plus 60 years for plotting to bomb and shoot Fort Hood soldiers last year. Private Nasser Abodo represented himself after dismissing his court-appointed lawyers. I've continued to answer the call of jihad and will continue to the day I am called to account for my deeds. So I don't know how much jihad. Can you do jihad in prison? I haven't been to prison, and I'm not a jihadist. So there's two ways I can't answer the question. I'm stuck again. I'm stuck without the answers. Always stuck without the answers. Oh, let me remind you, Dodger baseball tomorrow at 12:30, so I shan't be here tomorrow, but I will return. I will return to those thrilling days of yesteryear the following day on Friday, and we'll get together then. So I'm looking forward to tell you the truth.
Oh, yeah.
Friday, I mean. So until Friday, my dear trails, be happy ones, and don't believe everything you hear here, because
this is Talk is Cheap. The game is over. The Friends and Neighbors Network.
Game over.
With Bill Benica.
Happy trails until we meet again. I don't know why I did this. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Happy trails when we're together. Who cares if it's stormy or windy weather? Happy trails to you. We'll meet again someday. Happy trails. See, the issue I'm having right now is the Carrie Underwood song I have is 4 minutes long, and I have now 4 minutes and 7 seconds to go. My happy trails didn't play for reasons that I'm unsure of. So, you know, you got to punt and do the best you can right there. That's the way it works, the way I see it. I always try hard. All right, let's see now. Let me see if she'll queue up. She has. Have a nice day. And a nice tomorrow.